Mason is one of my favorites.
Yeah. Yeah, Mason just, I think, friended me on Facebook.
He just friended me on Facebook, too.
Sent a friend request or something via Messenger. Yep. I don't know.
That's because we're popular professors.
We are. Well, he does love the show.
Who doesn't love the show? Is Rich coming today?
Communists
love the show. This is the show for communists. We embrace communists.
I really hope we're not taping right now.
Yeah, we are.
Well,
at least for once, it's you that said the stupid thing and not me.
Why is it stupid to embrace a communist? They deserve love, too.
Or you could say socialism.
Socialism? We love socialism. We love anarchism on this show.
No, this, well,
this show embodies anarchism.
This show is run on a strict schedule.
That's right.
Yes. It's like trains. In Germany.
I have gotten Germany. So many, I was about to say, I've been delayed so many times on trains.
This is a German train.
Yes.
Okay.
We've, no, it's,
note to
no,
self,
no, 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 no.
The other thing that gets Colin going is talking about how structured
efficiently.
Our show is.
Here's the thing, Colin. It doesn't feel structured because we're inviting people into a conversation like it's in our living room where you wouldn't have an agenda, but it's structured.
Oh, I totally have an agenda in my living room.
Oh, you do? Yeah.
Yeah. It's build Legos.
6:15. Now the cocktail party shall commence.
6:30. Witty banter ensues.
Banter, banter, banter.
Banter, banter, banter. Speaking of that, I should go, you know.
Oh, come on. It's...
Welcome to Even More Mashed Up, a pop culture podcast.
Hello.
Featuring two professors talking about all things pop culture. I'm Patrick.
And I'm Alan. I see you've gone back to the relatively kind of bland introduction to professors talking about pop culture.
Yes, well, that's what happens when we don't actually figure out who's doing the opening and you point to me.
Whoops.
Yeah.
Once again, Colin, more evidence.
I fall back on my safety opening.
A little bit of spite there.
More evidence for Collins. These guys aren't really planning their show.
No, I have a plan. That's the backup plan. Clearly, I have a plan. There's a plan.
Okay.
I'm like the Cylons on Battlestar Galactica, and they have a plan.
Today is going to be a good day. Right? Because today is Logan.
Yes.
And who doesn't love the Wolverine?
We're talking all things Logan.
All things Logan. 50 minutes on Logan.
Woo!
What? Maybe 60. It's hard to say.
It's hard to say.
Yeah, it's 50 plus taxes.
But no less than 45.
No way.
Because we've never managed that, I don't
think. No. So we got a number of kind of approaches we want to take. You love your numbers, so
we got box office numbers, baby.
Then talk a little bit of like source material, where it came from.
Sounds
kind
good.
Kind of educate our audience on the comic book background
of
the movie.
That's right, because our audience loves nothing than being edumacated on the comic book
background. We are edumacators.
That's right.
Then we're going to do some, I guess the third category you sent to me was thoughts on the film.
Yes, I thought we should eventually get to like a critique of the movie
some
itself.
Thoughts. Oh, a critique. I thought you just wanted thoughts.
A critique or thoughts.
No, you wanted a critique.
You know, things about the movie that
now, Colin, I'm woefully underprepared.
Oh, okay. Well.
And then we're going to end with some fair or foul,
pulled
from the radio show. Some
yes.
quotes where we will argue about whether they are good or bad.
Someone
right
might have suggested that we need more fair or foul on the podcast.
That was Bobby's suggestion. Bobby listens.
Yes, right? he does.
He's paying attention. So shout out to Bobby.
Yes. He might be our most dedicated listener.
He may be.
Which is not sad at all.
It is.
Well, if you think about it's my son who tries to ignore almost everything I do.
That's true.
So if he's actually paying attention to something that the old man's doing.
There you go. Also, hey, Richard's here.
Oh, hey, Richard.
I am.
Yay.
So
hello,
really,
Richard.
Why tell anybody?
Yeah. Well, you know.
Let them guess.
It might be Richard.
We're like 2 minutes in, you know, and we acknowledge your existence.
It might be Colin. Who knows who's talking?
Well, usually 2 minutes in is about... I think about...
That's usually about right.
Par for the course.
Oh, so now we're acting like there's a plan.
Again, it's you know, banter.
Then there's the joke
tease
where
the
we pretend like we haven't noticed Richard
That's
until
right.
we acknowledge
and
him, and then we...
Richard complains about lack of acknowledgement.
Know? Right. It's like a standard sitcom
I go to
the
therapist,
structure.
I talk about it.
You have to... There's a structure to the show that must be pursued.
That is correct.
Speaking of which, I know that one of the structures you love on the show is numbers.
Numbers!
So I did a little box office research.
Okay.
I hear it did good.
It did well, actually.
Oh, it didn't do good?
You don't do good. You do well.
It couldn't do... It didn't do good. So you're saying it did not do good.
I'm saying you should not say that.
It didn't do good.
Yeah, it did well.
It done good?
Well, is good better than well? Or is well better than good?
No, just well is the appropriate...
Would you rather be well or good?
It's a good movie. The movie did well.
So it's well good?
Well is the...
So I hear it did... I hear it did good. Wow, now we're really edumacating people in ways that will not
That's
get
right.
them to
adverbs
listen to the show.
Adverbs and adjectives. Woohoo! It's
right,
adverbs
so
and adjectives.
Anyway, I hear it did good.
Yes, it did very well.
Excellent. Good.
When I wrote this, it was the top box office earning movie of 2017.
Wow, all of 3 months into 2017. Yeah. Way to go, Logan.
Lego Batman was number two, but I'm pretty sure
so
Beauty
it's
and
past,
the Beast
oh,
blew that
yeah.
away.
Yeah. Can I say I went to see Beauty and the Beast this weekend
you
with my daughter?
That.
Wow.
She's not a fan.
It was bad, right?
The crowd was nuts.
Yeah.
Like, I've never seen the Wilkes-Barre 14.
Yeah.
Shout
well, they were talking
14.
About, like, that
never theaters seen it that crowded.
Sold out nationwide for this movie. And
yeah.
I'm like, really? I've seen it.
And you know what?
Yeah.
It was fine. It
yeah.
was fine.
Yeah, okay. But today's talking about Logan. So, yes.
That's right. That's my
so
transition
Logan,
back.
Logan, I guess, is probably now the second top grossing movie of 2017.
Which is still good.
Yeah,
pretty
and
good.
I love this.
So it did good.
Term if it beats out Beauty and the Beast. Like, staying power, you don't think?
I don't know about that.
I don't think
I mean,
so.
No,
Logan
got, I mean,
is clearly on the down. And
already?
Oh, Beauty and the Beast is climbing.
Yeah, I don't think Logan's going. I mean, I'm hopeful. Well, we'll get into that because I've got more. Box office.
No good. More
numbers.
Box office.
Numbers and
numbers. We love numbers.
Yeah. So, because, yeah, it grossed about $88 million opening weekend. It's grossed about that much or a little bit more since then.
It seems like you just like saying grossed.
I do. So, as I write this, I really should not read what I wrote. This was like last week. It ranked 39th among movies adapting comic books.
39th?
37th. This is only after like 2 weeks.
It was after 2 weeks.
Oh. Okay.
Give it time to breathe, Richard.
37th among superhero movies.
Oh, boy.
25th among Marvel movies.
You have more?
And 6th among the X-Men franchise.
Okay. I don't know what to do with those numbers.
That's okay. I got more.
No. Go.
When I
God
wrote
help
this,
us.
It was only about 8.5 million below X-Men Wolverine Origins.
Wait, when was this?
Or sorry, X-Men Origins Wolverine.
So this is when you wrote this?
Which was like Saturday. No. When did I write this? I don't know.
So do you realize every time you say when I wrote this has no meaning?
It has no meaning
to anybody.
At all.
Not even to yourself.
Yeah. It does. Yeah.
It doesn't even mean. But go on.
I wrote it before Beauty and the Beast was out. That's all I can remember.
All right. So when you wrote this, yeah.
Yeah. It was only about 8.5 million below X-Men Origins Wolverine.
That was not a good movie.
Which is the top Wolverine movie.
Is it really?
It is. So wow. I'd really
I mean,
like to see it get
movie,
ahead of that.
But when you think about all the stuff with Wolverine in it. Like,
oh, it had a huge opening, though. Like, it had a Beauty and the Beast kind of opening.
I went to see
and
it.
And then
I sadly
plummeted.
Admit. Yeah.
I think I bought it on Blu-ray. Like, I didn't even go see that in the theater. That's how bad it was. But I'd like to see it.
Can I just say, once again, I love that that's your, like when you really hate something, you're like, well, I bought it the Blu-ray, but
yeah,
I didn't
like
see
didn't
it in the theater.
Actually,
like,
I did, actually,
like, you really stuck it to Hollywood. Way to go, my friend.
I spent more money in the Blu-ray.
Yeah, Hugh Jackman's pocketbook is still feeling that one. He's like, oh, if only Hamilton had seen it in the theater.
Clarification. I think I asked for it for Christmas, so I didn't actually pay for
Somebody
it.
Somebody still bought
it
for you.
But it's still purchased.
Yeah.
Right, but
at your request.
Had you not said it, it would not have been
right,
purchased.
Right, but I did not spend my money. I was unwilling to spend my money on that movie. That
and yet you still had somebody spend
that
money on the movie.
Exactly. There's levels.
So, again, you really stuck it to the man.
Yeah.
I feel like I did.
Okay.
I feel like they feel my moral judgment on that.
Okay. Fair enough.
So.
Are we ready for source material?
No, because I've got more numbers. So.
Oh.
One of the things I found really interesting in looking at the numbers
yeah.
is there's a very interesting pattern in the X-Men movies. Because you have – can you name what the highest box office grossing X-Men movie is?
Apocalypse.
No.
Days of Future Past.
Nope.
X-Men 2.
Nope.
X-Men 3?
Yep.
I knew it all along.
Yeah, but what's clearly interesting is so Last Stand, which is like the universally reviled movie –
yeah.
Is the...
Not a good movie.
Best... It's the highest grossing X-Men movie.
It did not do good.
First Class, which was the movie that kind of refixed the franchise.
Refixed?
Refixed,
Redacted?
No.
It did not redact
revamp?
The franchise.
Yeah, kind of.
I like Refixed.
Is the...
Or you could think about it, it kind of prefixed it.
There you go. Oh, God.
See, because it went back in time
yeah,
and it's
it.
A prefix.
Yeah.
It's a pun.
Is out of the 10 X-Men
Colin
movies,
just dropped the can,
okay.
So he's not even
he's
paying
not
attention
even
anymore.
Yeah.
He's like,
he's not
God.
Even listening to
he's
us
like,
now.
I could still hear you in real time. It
but in the same room together.
It's not like I've been in that room over there.
But professionally, yet, it feels like you've quit listening.
I don't understand headphones.
So, all right, source material.
Then First Class
nine.
And then the movie after First Class, Days of Future Past, is the second highest. So you have like kind of the universally reviled movie. Then you have the one that's good but kind of suffers from the old movie. And then the third movie that does better. And the Wolverine follows the exact same pattern.
But X-Men First Class doesn't.
No, it does.
Oh, it does as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
The X-Men movies do, because you go from
so Apocalypse
Last Stand
did better than
to First Class to Days of Future Past, which is the second highest grossing movie.
Yeah,
and with
okay,
Wolverine,
so close.
You go Wolverine Origins, and then you go The Wolverine, which is the least grossing movie. And then you have Logan, which is the highest of the Wolverine franchise.
All right, source material.
So I found that a very interesting pattern.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. I'm really regretting showing up on time.
I feel
fascinating.
Like I feel like my numbers research is not being appreciated.
I don't know what you said in the last 10 minutes.
And we've literally been running for 9.
So. So there's a minute in there that someone went back in time and messed with.
Yeah. He prefixed it.
Yeah. All right, source material.
Source material.
Go ahead.
Oh, I thought you had stuff.
You seemed really excited.
All I was trying to do is move is past numbers. That's like good stuff.
I don't care what else we're talking about.
I have stuff.
I do, too.
You had
well,
stuff.
Obviously, Old Man Logan is where everybody starts.
Yes.
And there is some Old Man Logan in it.
Right.
Insofar as he's old.
Yeah, exactly. He's old.
There's kind of a road trip.
Yes, though a very different road trip partner.
Yes, better. A better road trip
no,
partner,
no.
I think we'd agree.
No, it's inherently
senile Professor X, better than any Hawkeye.
Even blind Hawkeye?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then a lot of heroes are dead.
Well, a lot of mutants are dead.
Well, mutants, right. So there is...
In the movie, almost all of them are dead, I think.
They yes. are. Well, the yeah. one thing they did is that in the Old Man Logan comic, Wolverine was responsible for killing all of them. He's tricked by Mysterio into thinking he's
it's
fighting
a twist.
Villains. But he kills all of the X-Men.
This time,
in
Professor
the movie,
X.
they make it Professor X.
Spoiler alert.
Spoilers.
Yeah. So, I mean, there
did
is
you
some...
Ask Rich, did you find someone to take you to the movie?
No, I was
by
able
which
to buy
mean, did,
my own ticket.
Did you find someone to pay for a ticket?
That's right.
No,
meant.
I bought it myself.
You brought yourself? But who yeah. paid for the ticket?
No, I bought it myself.
Oh, you bought
it
yourself.
Okay, just checking before we got
I had to take it alone.
I just thought Rich was celebrating getting to the theater by
himself.
That's
one thing that's interesting is that for all the talk of this being kind of Old Man Logan, Old Man Logan is in some ways the thing I kind of saw the least.
Yeah, although you could maybe very, very roughly think about the post-apocalyptic setting.
Yeah.
Is a,
though it's not really post-apocalyptic.
No, but it's,
yeah,
just,
the trailer was
but
a
it's just a
misleading.
Really cruddy America.
But it's really grim. Well, cruddy, apocalyptic. Like, what's that? That's degrees.
Yeah. I don't even think it's that bad. I think it's just people in the bad parts are in the movie. Like,
you don't think it's that bad?
Like El Paso.
Can I say
that
El Paso was there totally made the movie for me.
No,
like, as soon as
I saw
El Paso,
I'm
like, I'm in.
Alan's going to love this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I lived in El Paso for 2 years, and I love
El
Paso. Shout out to El Paso. I wish
yeah.
I could go. We should take it on the road, Colin. Could we get to El Paso?
Yes. Will we?
Take the
no.
podcast.
You can get there
yeah.
on the road. No name.
And just have, like, nice. A podcast, like we have, like, individual podcasts along the road trip.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. A
that
road trip
so
podcast would be so
trip.
Good.
Oh,
all right, who's got 4 weeks this summer?
Even more mashed up
we're
on
just,
the road.
We're just like, I could probably find 4 weeks.
4 weeks, 8, 12, whatever.
Yeah, I've got nothing
oh,
happening
God.
At all.
Even
rest
more
of
mashed
my
up
life.
On the road. That is brilliant.
It would be awesome.
Oh,
my God, a road trip.
We could visit all the historical sites.
Or as the kids say, OMG.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's a great
perfect.
Idea.
So other kinds of then references,
well,
since Old Man Logan was a little
yeah.
rough.
And
or
for
loose.
Obviously reasons. They can't use like 90% of the storyline because the rights are owned by other movie companies.
Right.
And
nobody wants to see Hawkeye.
Yeah, it reminded
nobody
me a lot of kind of the Australia years of the X-Men.
The Outback X-Men.
Yeah, the Outback X-Men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the setting in that way, it fits
that
more
feeling.
That than the post-apocalyptic.
Yeah. Well, and you've also yeah. got the Reavers and Donald Pierce, which they sort of came together, you know, in the Australia years X-Men.
Right.
Some
of the best X-Men stories, I think.
That was about when I think I started collecting X-Men. I didn't start collecting X-Men regularly until, like, after Extinction Agenda, but I picked up
yeah.
the Inferno issues.
Right.
Like 239 to 44 or something like that. And so those were – yeah, that was good. It's interesting because at the time, it was kind of not a very popular storyline.
Right.
Like,
well, it brought in a lot of, like, sort of what were considered B-list character, you know –
yeah, well, because like, you had Havoc and
Dazzler,
Longshot, and Psylocke
yeah.
with, I think, Wolverine, Storm, and Rogue. I think
right.
that was basically
at that point, Psylocke wasn't Psylocke yet.
No.
You know,
she was,
and
yeah.
so it was – but it was kind of, I thought, really well done.
Yeah, I think in retrospect, it's looked better at
yeah.
than it was at the time because a lot of
yeah.
people were like, they're not fighting what they usually fight.
Yeah.
But that was when Silvestri kind of came onto the scene.
Yeah, Mark
Silvestri.
And he did
art.
Some good
yeah,
stuff.
He had some nice
yeah.
art, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I always kind of liked that.
And there were references to the Reavers. Like, they weren't, like, Reavers
no,
from
no.
the comic books. But there were shots, like, of the one guy, like, sitting atop the tank, kind
yeah.
of, that made him look like Bonebreaker.
That's Bone Crusher in the comics,
Bone Crusher. whatever.
So he's not sitting in the comics. He's the bottom half of his body.
Right, but it's I'm just saying referencing.
Right.
Sort
of. That's the thing. The Reavers make a nice nemesis for Wolverine because, you know, half of them were the three Hellfire Club guards that he slashed up in issue 133.
Which is a classic. Bill,
nope.
George, and
nope.
Freddie.
Nope, Cole, Mason, and Reese. Those are the
I'm pretty sure it was
Club
Bill,
Club
George,
guards.
And Freddie.
Cole, Mason, and Reese.
Anybody want to check that?
No.
Oh, trust me. It's 100% correct.
I'm sure you're right.
Pierce always kind of, after, like, I think in the Hellfire Club issue, like, Wolverine, like, slashes his robotic arm. And so Donald. So they make, like, a nice generic kind of Wolverine.
Well, and to me, like, Pierce always harkens back to the Hellfire Club.
Yes.
Even before the Outback X-Men.
Which kind of realizes.
And, like, I always loved the Hellfire Club when I was a kid.
It's
kind
of
interesting group of
the
bad
fact
guys.
That, with the exception of Harry Leland, all the original members of the Hellfire Club have shown up in the films.
And Harry Leland was the guy that was real portly and
could,
like,
increase
his mass.
Gravity. Yeah, he's the only one because we've had Emma Frost. We've had Sebastian Shaw.
We have.
We've had Donald Pierce.
Yep.
And we've had sort of a version of Mastermind.
What about the Black Queen?
I'm thinking the original one. Black Queen didn't show up till later.
All right, so you're talking
original. Your Dark Phoenix saga, Hellfire Club.
Yeah. That's classic X-Men.
That's
right. Classic
X-Men. That is the Hellfire. So kind of like.
So, like, I love, like, I'd love to see a movie where they did the Hellfire Club.
The way they should be.
And the way they should be.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, they got a little bit close
Hellfire
in First
Club.
Class when they go into the Gentleman's Club, but.
Yeah.
Other than that, they didn't really do.
Yeah.
Supposedly, the next X-Men movie, Supernova, is going to be Dark Phoenix, but it sounds like they're focusing more on, like, the Shi'ar space angle.
How great would that be?
The Hellfire Club.
That they've never taken the X-Men into outer space in film.
Well, I mean, that was the bread and butter of the X-Men.
Kind of disappointing, given
Claremont.
That's what Claremont did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there are a couple other throwbacks. One would be Caliban.
Yes.
Who was, like, never, I think, a fan favorite.
No, but he's now appeared in two movies.
It's kind of weird, right, that he's the guy?
He was in Apocalypse.
Yeah.
Oh,
the guy
that
Psylocke
one.
Was originally working for.
Did not see that one.
Oh, okay.
Apocalypse recruits him away. Oh, you didn't see that one. Never mind.
Was it good at all?
It was
it's
fine.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah,
it was better than all right.
It's better. Yeah, it's better than.
I would say,
like,
well, but not
say
good.
It's like terrible. I'm like.
That's why I was turned away.
I've got some fair foul on that. It's a perfectly decent movie, but
agreed.
It's not anything like groundbreaking or revolutionary.
Okay. Yeah. I was always disappointed in Caliban's character arc. He was more interesting when he wasn't, like, a super bulky.
Oh, yeah, when he became a hound.
He became a horseman eventually, right?
Oh, that's right. He was a horseman. Yeah.
Yeah.
A horseman, not a hound.
So, whoa, did I just win one on comic book trivia?
He might have been both, but I'll let you have that.
Sweet. Yeah. There's Richter shows up, so there's kind of a shout out to kind of the New Mutants.
Yeah. Richter. It didn't seem like any of the other sort of young kids running around paralleled anyone. It
would have been nice if they did.
Yeah.
But
at least we got Richter.
Yeah.
If you had told me that we would have a movie, you know, with Richter in it, I'd be like, seriously? Richter?
Yeah.
Yeah, no one wants Richter.
Nobody wants Richter. It'd be like putting Hawkeye in there.
But yes, and again, I thought the way in which they kind of did that was very nicely done. Like, it didn't feel, like, jarring or anything
like that. Right. One of the things this film did really well was it referenced all kinds of stuff. Right? Xander Rice comes out of the X-23 series.
Right. Well, someone did his research.
X-24.
Yeah.
Right? Could be the old Wolverine android Albert? No? You don't think so?
No, because I'm pretty sure he gets slashed to bits and there's no robot parts.
No, Albert's definitely an android.
No, I mean X-24.
In the movie, he gets slashed a bit.
But it's kind of a callback. Like, he's fighting somebody who kind of looks like him.
Yeah, I saw it more as he's fighting the version of himself that he'd have been if he hadn't been rescued by Xavier.
That's a way to think about
like
it if you want to be artsy
like
and smart about it. But I thought it was like the android Albert.
Yeah, well, you can go into nerd lore if you want. I will be sort of intellectual and smart about it. Which is clearly our dynamic.
What's happened to this show?
Yeah, that's like, clearly our normal dynamic. You bring up the obscure comic book lore, and I sort of raise the level of discourse.
All right, then it feels like it's time to critique the film.
Possibly.
All right. Let's, it's not going to get any better,
it's
Richard.
Not
like, make you act as if we've passed some threshold, but we haven't.
Oh, thank God. We got past the filler.
Because you know what I want to talk about in critiquing the film?
What?
I want to talk about kid actors.
Oh.
You know that I have been on a long...
You're
professional and personal crusade against kid actors.
That was actually one of a question I have for you in this section relates to kid actors.
Okay, well, Colin's never heard my spiel on
Kid Actors.
I mean,
I've heard
the
spiel, like, you never use kids or animals.
Yeah, no,
you
talked about
movies.
It before.
Yeah.
Oh, have I? Okay, yeah. So that, like,
oh,
kid parts should be played by adults.
Yeah. Spiel.
Kid
Moment
parts.
Refer to it as a spiel, we've heard it.
But if you just had adults play the kid roles with a placard around their chest that said, I'm playing a child, it'd be better. Because so like, you only bring kids on because they're like, oh, they're sweet and syrupy and blech. Yeah.
So, like, it'd
Hate
be like a 42-year-old man with a huge beard, just like a placard.
Yeah, Tom Hanks, you know, with...
Tom Hanks could play a kid.
Yeah, I think Tom Cruise, because he's short enough to do it already.
Is,
well, I mean,
true.
Like, with technology, I feel like it's coming
that,
to that point where, like, you could do it.
Well, they've got that
but, like,
technology.
We don't need technology. All we need is a little placard.
So well.
Nope. You know, they just de-age.
All we need is a name tag, and we're good.
Yeah.
Anyways, you have thoughts on kid actors?
I don't like them.
Yes, but...
Is that the thought?
Yeah, that was my thought.
I don't like them.
So,
I had a whole spiel, but apparently I'm not allowed to share it because everybody knows it.
No, you your do. Spiel about kid actors in general, we know. Your
yes.
particular take on...
Daphne Keene didn't bother me.
Okay.
I can't decide why. Maybe because she didn't say much?
Yeah, she didn't talk.
Which
I
thought was like...
The fact that she didn't talk...
Okay, number
like,
one, didn't say much. Huge bonus.
Yes.
Yeah.
Number two, most kids, again, are played for kind of that... Like, they're played to kind of create, like, this sappy emotional connection to make the audience go, aw.
Yeah,
and
not
I,
her.
I hate that.
Yeah.
No,
she
when she brings
terrifying.
The guy's head out and rolls it across the desert,
just,
I'm like, okay,
like,
she is not a typical kid actor in a film.
She's the scariest, most terrifying thing in the film. Like, that little girl, like, they edit, I'm sad they edited it out in the movie because the trailer part.
Yeah.
Where she's first walking up, and then the guy that plays Pierce is saying, no, no.
Yeah.
Like, in the trailer, it's like, yeah, he is scared to death of that little girl.
Yeah,
and
in the movie,
well.
they didn't do it. It wasn't quite the same cut.
Do you know what? You should be afraid of that girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's my question for you.
But she was kind of like the kid in Iron Man, who I didn't hate either.
Oh, no, okay. Because that was my question. Better job using kid actors, Logan or Iron Man 3?
Wow.
Logan.
Wow. That's way too quick an answer, Richard. Like, that's a complicated...
I know.
Because X-23 totally subverts the kid genre with its violence.
Right.
But Iron Man 3 did such a great job of, like, cynically deconstructing the relationship between Tony Stark and the kid.
And kind of that traditional sappy...
Right, like,
that's why I asked the
mentor-mentee kind of...
It's doing it on a more meta level.
Right.
Then X-23.
So the question is, how do you want it? How do you want your metaphors or your genres deconstructed?
No, that's not the question. The question
no.
is, which is better?
No,
which is better?
So the question becomes, which do I prefer? Do I prefer sort of an intellectual dismantling of the kid in film, or do I prefer a visceral dismantling?
Well, I feel since you've already
kid
referred
film.
To deconstruction once, which is getting jargony, that you're going to lean towards the more visceral one.
I think I prefer...
Otherwise, you're starting to turn into me even more.
I think I prefer Iron Man.
That.
I mean, I hate to say it, but I think I might be morphing into you on this show.
That's frightening.
Yeah.
For both of us.
Yeah. Hawkeye, he seems like a good superhero.
Okay,
actually.
now you're just...
Especially when he's blind.
That's when he's at his best.
Yeah. You know, an archer is the best when he can't see what he's shooting
I'm
at.
I'm a blind archer.
Well, he's old. No,
point me at my target, son.
No, he'll be like Daredevil. He can sense his targets.
No, he doesn't. He's just blind. He's just that good an archer that he can still shoot. He uses his ears to aim.
So, like,
I thought he was deaf.
No, well, he's partial. Well, no, he was deaf, and then when Franklin Richards recreated the universe, he was no longer deaf, and then he became deaf again in the most recent Hawkeye series.
Oh, good.
Now he's double useful.
All right, there we go. So anyway, I think I would lean Iron Man, but both do a brilliant job of saying, let's not treat kids this way.
Yeah.
Because we're just using them in ways that make me uncomfortable.
Yeah, but no, Keene she's great in the role, but she is just terrifying.
She is terrifying, but that's what makes her great.
At the beginning, the middle, and end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's just, So what was your overall sense of the movie?
I think it's a brilliant film.
Yeah.
I think
it's
a brilliant film, in part because it's not really a superhero film.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this like when we've done Luke Cage on the show, for example. The really great superhero popular culture isn't about superheroes.
Right.
It's about telling stories about people who happen to be superheroes, right? And that's what Logan does, right?
Yeah.
Like it's a much deeper, much more profound story than you get in your standard superhero fare.
Well,
which again is Luke Cage or Daredevil to me.
One of the things that's very interesting is that it's in many ways a film about old age. Like it's, it's about,
well,
you know,
very much so.
Mortality,
like that's which if you think about it, the superhero movies are not young and powerful and you know, nobody ever dies. Even when you fall, you know, 100 feet in the air in your iron suit, you're still, oh, my back broke. Well, no, you should be pudding.
Pudding, is that the medical term?
Yes, it's the medical term.
If you fall in an iron suit 100 feet, you will be pudding.
But yeah, it's kind of interesting that Logan is very, and it's kind of ironic with that they're doing it with Logan, who has the, you know, the healing factor. But it's very much about mortality, where the superhero genre in general is not about that at all.
But isn't it more poignant with Logan?
Yeah.
Because he has that healing ability. And there was this sense that he was kind of immortal.
Yeah.
Right? That Logan would live kind of forever everybody else wouldn't.
Right.
And
well,
then he doesn't.
Some of the movies as well, because like he's, you know, been in like World Wars and whatnot.
Sure.
Like,
oh, he's lived
been
a,
in Civil War.
Yeah. So like, you know, it's implied that, you know, oh, he'll just be around forever because he has been.
Right. And so when you watch him kind of coming to grips with old age and what's clearly the end.
Yeah.
Right? I thought it was moving.
The other thing that I found
in Grizzly,
again, kind of another kind of nice irony with Logan in the film that I liked, and it's one that carries over from the comics, is Logan Wolverine is sort of your classic kind of loner, anti-hero killer, and yet he's in the caretaker role in this movie. And he's always played that in the comics. Like, he bonds with Kitty Pryde, and then Jubilee.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you have the Wolverine in the X-Men series where he's the teacher of the school.
Right.
And then you've got kind of the same thing in the movies. You've got Rogue. Yeah.
But they don't make it too easy for him.
No.
Right? Which is also kind of the brilliance of the film. Yeah. Like, it'd be too easy for him to all of a sudden kind of become the nurturer.
Right.
When he's spent his entire life doing kind of the opposite of nurturing.
Right.
So, yeah, I thought that was – and there's a great moment in the film where X-23 says, like, I've killed a lot of people, but they're bad people.
Right.
And Logan kind of responds by saying, but still.
Right.
And he doesn't finish the thought. Mm-hmm. But, like – and that's one of the things I loved about the film was, as a Quaker, I don't love the violence.
Right.
But I thought
it
was
violent.
But I thought it was really
very much so.
It was really honest about violence, right? Like, so that it's not like X-Men 1, like a shiny comic booky kind of film, like the film kind of says, right, with the comic book in Logan,
right?
Like where the violence is very comic booky, right? This is this is contemplating what a superhero like Logan in the real world looks like.
Yeah,
and guess what? Like it's really ugly, but. The beauty was that it showed even Logan, a soldier, kind of wrestling with the costs of the violence, right? Yeah. Like that committing those acts of violence have consequences for him. And I thought, you know, again, a really interesting meditation, not just on old age, but also sort of violence. And maybe in some ways, if you think about it, the world we live in today where movies and video games and so much of our popular culture surrounds us in violence all the time. Like we don't feel violence as Americans, I think, because it's everywhere all the time. Right. And Logan is a film. In this way, it reminds me of The Wrestler. Did you see The Wrestler?
I haven't seen The Wrestler. No.
It was the Mickey Rourke film where he plays the old wrestler.
Hilary Swank. No, she was.
Marissa Tomei.
I'm thinking of the
Clint Eastwood boxing movie.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
But in this one, like Mickey Rourke plays a washed up wrestler who's trying to keep making money on the circuit, right? And the beauty of that film was it never looked away from the violence of his profession, right? Like it was unrelenting, and it never let you off the hook for like how brutal this guy's life was.
Right.
Logan does the same thing, right? And so for a moment, I hope theater goers go, and when they see Logan perpetrate that violence, they might say to themselves, oh, like that's what it is.
Yeah. Well, I think in many ways, when he faces off against the X-24 version of himself, he's facing off against that kind of violence and that kind of, like X-24, he's a younger Wolverine, but he's also kind of that over-the-top superhero violent character. That in some ways, another moment where I think, you know, to Mangold's credit, that the movie is kind of, again, commenting on the superhero genre in ways that are very subtle.
Right, but in doing that, let's not let, like, Superman versus Batman and even the Avengers stuff off the hook, right? Like
We can let Avengers off the hook.
Well, Marvel tries harder to talk about the consequences of violence, right? The incident kind of still ripples through the Netflix universe and everything. They at least, like, try a little bit.
Mm-hmm. DC, like, pretends it does.
Right. Batman kind of did, but then
yeah,
he found out they had...
Yeah, it's interesting is that yeah. the Marvel world is kind of brighter and shinier than the DC world, which would make you think the DC world would be the
right.
one that has more of the consequences and things. No. But it's actually the no. Marvel world. The other thing that I found, the yeah. other moment that I really loved in the movie...
Sure.
...was after X-24 kills Professor X.
Yeah.
And Logan is carrying him out. And you just hear Logan saying... It wasn't me, it wasn't me, it wasn't me. Like,
yeah.
it's just, like, the moment where you kind of realize, oh, yeah, Professor X dies thinking he was just murdered by Logan.
Well, and, like, I gotta say, when Professor X died,
mm-hmm.
you knew he was gonna die in this film.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, you knew him.
But it didn't feel like it was gonna happen then.
No.
Yeah, it felt like it was gonna be
right?
that big of a thing.
And it was very, in that way, anticlimactic, right?
Right.
Professor X, you assume, is gonna go out... in a huge set-piece battle, like
oh,
on
yeah.
a tarmac,
oh, like
where the Avengers
are
like...
Control
like
or
when
something
Wolverine
like that.
Kills
right.
Phoenix, kills Jean Grey.
Right,
know,
like there's,
yeah.
there's going
to
be...
Well, yeah, you figure his powers are going to go out of control, and Logan's
yeah.
going to have to kill him to save the universe,
right.
and
exactly.
Professor
so,
X is going to say it's okay.
Right,
you know,
but there's going to be
like
a...
the Phoenix. Yeah.
There's going to
yeah.
be a comic booky moment, but instead, Professor X gets offed.
Yeah.
Almost as like an afterthought.
Yeah,
like
well,
it just
almost,
like
it
just
off like the rest of the random family that shows up.
Exactly,
yeah.
and that I thought was kind of beautiful because
yeah.
as soon as I went to eat dinner with that family, I'm like, "What are you people doing?
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
like you're on the run from
I
the
was,
Reavers.
Yeah,
you're gonna go stop
and
for
you're hanging
dinner?
Out with them. I'm like, yeah, that's a bad idea.
It's okay, I guess, if Professor X wants to die there.
Yeah,
but like he sacrifices the entire family.
Yeah.
For that
yeah,
moment.
That was a bad decision on,
yes,
on Logan and Professor
yeah.
X's part.
Well, no,
yeah.
Logan didn't want to do it. I was like, I'm with him. Like, no.
Tactically, I think the wrong choice.
Yeah, well, at some point, Logan should have said, listen, dude, you have Alzheimer's or something. You're not the one that's making judgments for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yes. But anyway, the way that Professor X is killed off.
Yeah.
You're right. It's just like.
It's so tragic. Like, it's just like, wow, that's not the way you want him to go.
And it's not the way he's supposed to go.
Yeah.
Right? But instead he goes, I think your point's exactly right. He goes just like the rest of the family,
yeah.
just as thoughtlessly as we murder people in all of our superhero popular culture.
Yeah.
And so maybe there is like a really great point that Mangold's trying to make here, right? That we
yeah.
ought to feel for the farmers.
Yes.
What we feel for Xavier.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't
yeah.
when we go to consume pop culture.
Maybe if the farmers played Patrick Stewart, we would.
What?
Maybe if the farmers would play Patrick Stewart, you know, we would.
I really don't know how to respond to that, Richard.
Well, but one of the farmers is played by Eric LaSalle, who was on ER back in the 90s.
I was trying to reach a higher point,
yeah.
but
yeah.
yes, I suppose if Patrick Stewart had played all of the farmers...
At the same time.
That'd
we'd
be
feel
weird
differently.
To find a farm full of Patrick Stewarts.
Yeah.
Be a little weird.
Yeah.
Still kind of cool, though.
So anyway, I thought the film's commentary on age and on violence
yeah.
were really interesting and worth thinking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it was. And again, I think it's one of the many ways that this film... clearly sort of transcends, you know, the superhero genre. Because it's much
right.
more of like, I mean, clearly Mangold is you may have picked up on his very subtle reverence of Shane.
Shane, is that a cowboy movie,
yes,
if I recall correctly?
Yeah.
That, I think, as a lot of people pointed out, like,
yeah.
Mangold apparently references Shane in every movie.
Oh, I didn't know that. But.
Yeah, he references in general.
Shane,
and I'm
don't
watching
go,
the movie,
Shane.
Like, wow, we're like doubling down. Like, we're not even
yeah.
referencing saying Shane. We're just going to have the characters watching it at some
yes.
point.
Well,
like,
and then
yeah.
at the end, you know, like,
yeah.
when Jesse Eulogy, I was like,
well,
really?
When
like,
Ray
yeah,
Brown
so.
Was teaching my pop culture class when I was a sophomore.
Yeah.
We watch Shane,
yeah.
so I get it. Like it's a
yeah,
important,
it too, yeah.
powerful kind of movie,
yeah.
but yeah, it's a little like wacky over the head.
It is. I mean, again,
but
you know,
I have a question for you.
Oh, okay.
About you're kind of talking about how it transcends superhero
mm-hmm.
films, but before I ask you that question,
okay,
I want to switch roles again. I want to get you back to the nerdy guy.
Oh, I can do that
because I need you to answer a comic booky question
I'll
for me.
I'll see what
me.
I can do.
Okay,
I'm not as well versed in X-Men as.
Well, I'm kind of wondering. I'm not worrying about the comic book. I'm wondering about the movie franchise.
Okay,
right. Because Wolverine is part of kind of the broader X-Men
yes.
franchise. So what does this film mean for the X-Men franchise that exists before it?
Are they
like tied to this is an endpoint now, right? This is 2029
yeah.
or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or can they, I don't know, are you going to argue, can build like a different timeline, like Flashpoint, where the line goes off in a different direction and they avoid it? Or do everything that we watch with X-Men coming, between now and 2029 mm-hmm. have to inevitably lead to, and how are you going to do that?
It kind of, I mean, my hope is, what I would like to see
yeah.
is that in some ways, Logan, because it is so different from the superhero movie.
Right.
In some ways, I really hope that it kind of frees the X-Men franchise from the very sort of kind of crippling continuity mess it's found itself in.
How?
By just ignoring it. By just, you know what? Their next movie, you know, their next movie, yeah. X-Men Supernova,
yeah.
is going to be the classic Dark Phoenix Shi'ar space opera.
Yeah.
And don't worry about where it falls in.
So just tell it. I think
we're just going to make a good X-Men movie.
That is not the answer I expected from you, but I think it's a good answer.
I think it's the only way out. Because yeah. I think,
so
Logan
is basically like the cutoff point. Like, it's almost like clipping it off, and this is
in some ways,
universe.
I mean, you look at, I mean, look at Deadpool and look at Logan, which are probably the two most, I mean, Deadpool's the most successful movie.
Right.
Logan is, and again, if you think
Logan could be on its way, right?
Could be on its way, but if you just look at it in terms of critical response, they're the two most successful.
Right.
Like, in terms of audience and critical response. Yeah. And they're ones that are just basically telling their story, and who cares? Like,
okay.
You know, Deadpool's like, yes, I'm going to totally turn Colossus into a ridiculous straight man and pretty much ruin him for anything else. But who cares? Because it's great.
It's good stuff.
But
that leads me to my next question.
So that,
for you.
That's kind of what I would like to, I mean,
yeah.
That is what I would like to see is that just tell the Shi'ar Dark Phoenix story. Just tell it, make it good.
Yeah.
Don't worry about explaining how it fits into Days of Future Past. Or
no.
Whatever.
And in fact, taking that and moving even that into several movies would be okay.
Yeah.
Because Claremont wrote it definitely in sort of acts.
Yeah.
Right? But there's a lot of buzz out there that Wolverine has kind of created a new superhero formula, right? And
oh,
that
God.
With the success of Wolverine, that what you'd like to have happen will happen, right?
Right?
That we'll move away from what people are kind of describing as the Marvel complex that's like sucking all the oxygen out of theaters, and because you're creating movies that have to carry on, right?
The shared
like that,
universe.
That right, that you have this shared universe, and not only are you participating in a shared universe, but every film has to have those trailers cut at
right.
the end that kind of says, here's where it goes, like Thanos is coming, you
right.
know, or whatever that is. And so I hear people making that argument. I think Wolverine breaks the – or Logan breaks the mold. Like, it's not that.
Right.
But the idea that Disney Marvel mm-hmm. is going to quit making Avengers movies like they're making
no.
Avengers movies is just kind of crazy talk,
but I think
right?
That, but we've talked about this before. Like, the Disney Marvel formula has been ridiculously successful
right.
for Disney Marvel.
Yes.
It's been a complete mess for DC, who have tried
that,
to do the same
that
thing.
That does seem fair.
Again and again and again.
And X-Men is at Fox. And it's kind of like
yeah.
X-Men kind of maybe – the X-Men franchise at Fox has kind
yeah.
of figured out, we can't chase Marvel.
Right.
If we're going to be successful, we need to do something different. And you see with
yeah.
Deadpool and Logan, something different.
No, I think that's true. And we've
and
talked
so,
about that.
And
certainly
then,
DC
then,
is a pale imitation of
it
Marvel.
Is. And again,
yeah.
DC, first thing out after Logan – oh, yeah, we might do R-rated movies. I'm like, oh, my God. If
yeah,
you guys
so here's all
learn,
the reshoots for Suicide Squad.
I'm like, can you
yeah.
guys
yeah.
not
we're
learn
gonna reshoot
the lesson?
Wonder Woman to
yeah.
be all rated.
I'm just like, if
right.
you guys cannot learn the lesson of
right.
everything you've done so far, which is
yeah.
not just do what Marvel's doing.
Right.
Because I think that that's what – I mean, and Logan is
no.
in some ways the most self-conscious
no.
in terms of the ways that it is
– which is
– a kind of comment on that superhero.
Which is show. Why we've always said they should put us in charge of DC.
Yeah.
We would fix it.
Yeah.
We
at
would
this
fix
point, they could put anybody else in charge of DC.
They need to put anybody
Whoa.
Else in charge.
Yeah. But they need us.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Anybody else could
choice.
Do it, but they need
yeah,
us.
You have better choice,
right.
obviously.
Just so we're clear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, you agree then that that Logan's not really changing the superhero movie.
No.
No.
Right. I mean, I think it could change in the sense that if Fox is smart, I think the direction they've established with Deadpool and Logan, like, that's the direction
right.
you follow. Like,
yeah.
You start off with kind of your MCU version of
right.
kind of everything connected and whatnot, you know. And it wasn't terrible, but
right.
it seems like you kind of exhausted yourself.
Right. Well, First Class was quite good, I thought. Like, that's
again,
a film that I think really stands up.
But again, First Class is in some ways kind of a precursor to Deadpool and Logan in
yeah.
that it just told its story.
Right.
And like other people are like, how can you have Havoc there? He's Cyclops' younger brother.
Yeah.
Is Cyclops going to be like 50? And I'm like, okay, can we just kind
just
of
– stop. Yeah. Look, if you're
okay.
arguing
like,
against canonicity, then everybody should stop.
In this, in the sense that
that's what I mean. Like, you're a canon man.
Everybody loses.
It's a way that I could see the Fox universe kind of distinguishing itself from Marvel. Because, I mean, the superhero genre is going to wear itself out or just simply exhaust us if everything is the Marvel shared universe.
Right.
Like, that's this shared universe and that shared universe and that shared universe.
So you don't think it's a sort of standalone like Rogue One in Star Wars, where it's Logan happened, but it has no effect on, you know, Apocalypse or whatever.
No, I think...
Well, it happens so far in the future. One of the nice things is, like, it can't, right?
But, I mean, like, this way they don't have to lead up to that.
That would be my hope, is that that's not what they do, is that the next movie doesn't, like, lay threads for, you know, Logan. I'm like, oh, no, don't do that. Like, just, you know...
Because, one, why watch it? You know what's going to happen.
Just do your movie. Tell your story.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So maybe it's time for Fair or Foul, then.
I think so.
Unless
yes.
you've got more.
No, I'm good.
Okay. Can I start?
Sure.
I've got a quote on Jackman.
Okay.
Okay. Quote, "He's still peeling back layers of the character, slipping past superhero conventions to create one of the best screen portrayals."
I think it's fair.
You know where that came from?
You?
Breitbart.
Oh, God.
Even better. Oh. It's Breitbart not writing about Logan, but Breitbart writing about Jackman in The Wolverine.
Oh, God.
I'm so glad he didn't say anything.
The Breitbart review.
You're terrible.
Peeling back. Bobby found this one for me. I said, I got to find at least one. Oh, by the way, it ends, "to create one of the best screen portrayals of an immortal." So even they got that wrong.
Yeah, they got that.
Yeah, it turns out, whoops, not immortal.
Yeah, no, he's not.
So it seems like you should be reading a little bit more Breitbart, my friend.
No,
because
I don't
it seems
so.
To be right in
but
your,
it does,
in
I mean,
ballpark.
I mean, Jackman's, it's interesting, because I saw he and Stewart, and Ian McKellen were on the Graham Norton show last weekend, and I taped it and watched it. And number one, he's been playing this role for 17 years.
That's a long time.
And apparently, when he did the first X-Men movie, that was his first film ever. That he was in.
So X-Men was his first.
Was his very first
his
film.
His foray into film.
Really?
Yeah, was the first, like, because he said, this is my first time on a movie set. Like, this was my first film. I'm like, yeah, that's pretty good for your first film.
Not bad.
Yeah.
I'm like, you did all right for the next 17 years. Cause, I mean, and that was the other thing, too, is it felt like the movie felt like a really nice send-off for both Patrick Stewart and Hugh Jackman.
Absolutely. I could see why Patrick Stewart said he wasn't going to do any more, because that is –
So he has
nice...
said that if they want him to guest appear on the Legion TV show, he totally would come back to do that.
Really?
Yeah. He said if they want me for that, I would totally do a cameo.
I got to catch up on Legion, but I'm only halfway through Iron Fist, so I've got work. Got work.
But the funny part is that Ian McKellen comes out and they're on the Graham Norton show, and they're asking him, like, why aren't you in this movie? And he's like, I have no idea. I'm like – He turns to Jack. He's like, "Can't you do another one?" They turn to Patrick Stewart. He's like, "We don't need you. You need to die." It is really funny.
Those guys get along really well.
They do.
Like
you could just see like I think both Stewart and McKellen have talked about it. I think one of them, I can't remember which one, said that having the other one sort of taught him what it was to have a brother.
Yeah,
like they've clearly just.
Bonzo. Oh yeah, you see them outside of the movies all the time.
Yeah, so
I almost
playing like
Ski
Ball and Coney Island.
Yeah. I mean it's a really fantastic. So
Give me a quote.
Yeah, well, I think we've covered a couple
Mr.
of these already.
Mr. Breitbart.
So the one I had one for, I think the one I'll go with, because I think you'll like this.
Yes.
This is Brian Truitt of the USA Today.
Okay.
Now let me finish.
Ooh, okay.
Logan.
Yes.
Is the Dark Knight of the mutant-filled X franchise. A gripping film that transcends the comic book genre by saying something important. And for Logan, that means coming to grips with needing loved ones in his life.
Yeah.
So let's parse that. Logan as the Dark Knight of the mutant-filled X franchise transcends the comic book genre by saying something important.
So we're parsing it by you reading the whole thing over again.
Foul.
So we're going to parse it by reading the whole thing over again.
No, I read the first half.
Okay. I think it's foul.
Why?
I can see where a less sophisticated person might see the comparisons and the grittiness and whatnot. But Batman becomes a mouthpiece for the Bush administration. Logan is actually wrestling with really profound issues of, like, the human spirit and existence.
Well, it's
like,
a very kind
to
of
me,
intimate,
they're
a very sort of intimate personal film.
Right. They're, right. And Batman.
I wish
The
Dark Knight was
The Dark
like
Knight
Logan.
Is not.
Would you care to unpack your point about it being the Bush administration?
I think that's a spiel I've given many times on this show, right?
I know. I just like to hear it.
Rendition, electronic eavesdropping, torture, all the crimes of the Bush administration.
There we go.
Repeated by Batman in the Dark Knight. It's a terrible film politically. It's a terrific film artistically.
It's okay.
But Logan reaches emotional depths that The Dark Knight's not even close to.
Okay.
Right? I don't see them in the same kind of ballpark.
With that, I've got another one that follows nicely.
Oh,
that.
Boy. Okay.
This is Mara Rheinstein of the U.S. Weekly. Quote, "For all the breathless talk about how Logan transcends the superhero genre, there's nothing groundbreaking about a road trip movie in which adults try to elude the bad guys to protect a super special child."
Well, that's foul because she's just saying contradictory or two separate things. Just because it breaks the superhero mold doesn't mean it's going to be completely new.
Okay.
Wait, what movie's new anymore?
Yeah, I mean, if you didn't get that generic,
no matter, right. Like
Avengers Age of Ultron was groundbreaking in the fiction of cyber...
Now you finally awoken the sleeping Colin.
I've awoken the Colin? Is that like awakened the Kraken?
On Amazon Video, I saw Swiss Army Man, you know, with
the Radcliffe one.
The Radcliffe one, which I thought was a good film, and that had an interesting concept. It wasn't like superhero movie after superhero movie. It was like something like a new thing.
Yeah, well, I think those things are rare, I guess is what I'm saying, right? Like it's hard to find something that breaks the mold. And so I think if you just taking Logan out of the superhero genre is a pretty substantial accomplishment.
I think that's very much what Mangold is doing. I mean, Mangold clearly has...
It's also a Western, for God's sake, right?
Well, that's the thing. Well, he's got genres that he likes. Westerns, road trips.
And
like
also, molds aren't bad.
No,
like,
it's not.
There's no reason that, you know, you can't be in a mold.
Right.
You know what would be a new movie? A movie about two college professors who run a pop culture podcast? It would
be a great movie.
It would be funny.
It would be
be moving.
I've always fallen asleep.
Question. Who do we cast as Richard? Do you think Hugh Grant's available?
I mean, Grant to Jackman, interchangeable.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, who would play Richard?
Patrick Stewart.
No.
Oh, come on.
But I could see him in the toupee to make it work. Yeah. That would be pretty funny.
Trust me.
No toupee.
Patrick Stewart would bring a range to the role of Richard Balvin.
That's right.
Richard Balvin is not
the
That's right. Richard would be like, wow. I never knew I had so many layers.
I'm awesome.
I am deep.
You know what? Let's think about that for a future podcast. How would we cast?
the even more mashed up?
The movie.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So you want another quote?
Yeah, go ahead. And then I've got one more.
Logan is, in short, frustrating. It's painfully bloody and oddly beautiful, insanely profane, and strangely spiritual.
Yeah. Fair.
Sweet. You agree with Focus on the Family. Judges movies only by their moral contributions.
If he doesn't tell you the name of the who wrote it,
it's
a trick.
Yeah.
So you are a Focus on the Family Breitbart man.
I feel like that's the niche I've carved for myself. That was one of the things I did find weird.
Yeah.
Was Professor X swearing as much as he did? Like when he first came out, I'm like, wow, he is dropping the F bomb, and that is weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
he is not happy.
That is,
in your defense, I think that's kind of fair that it's painfully bloody and beautiful, it's profane and spiritual.
I think that, I am sure Focus on the Family perhaps has that in a broader context that
they
would disagree
with.
They do,
but they're, I told you this earlier, their rating for violence was only like a 4 out of 5.
Yeah, I don't understand that at all.
And
How is that possible?
Is
violent.
How is that possible?
Well, it was probably with the editing, because I know they kind of cut away.
A 12-year-old girl walks out of an abandoned factory and rolls a man's head across the desert floor
because
she has just separated from his body.
Yeah,
it's implied that he separated from his body. You never see it happen.
There is a head and no body. A separation occurred. The guy goes into the building and he's connected.
Taken out of context, yes. That may seem
particularly
violent.
Okay, fair
enough. You are taking it out of context.
but
the film's context is very clear.
Yes, if we focus on that moment, yes, that is one moment where they don't show her like being violent.
Right.
And then there are the other 90 where they do, and she is stabby.
She is stabby, stabby, stabby.
Yeah.
And then Wolverine shoves his claws into some guy's head, and you see that.
Oh, yeah, you see that.
Several
times. They showed in a trailer.
No. Colin, you're taking that out of context.
Well, he is.
Yeah, you see the claws going through his head, but you don't know where they come from.
Yeah,
he might have missed the vital organ in his brain.
It could have just been his face.
As if the brain has different organs.
It does. I meant the vital parts of the brain.
Vital organs
and
of the brain.
You know, when you see him slice people's head completely off.
I mean, can I give you one more fair foul that's going to make you feel better about yourself since you've been exposed as a reader of Breitbart and a fan of Focus on the Family? This is Rex Reed.
Okay.
Old dude.
Yeah, that is.
From the New York Observer. Quote, another expensive throwaway aimed at milking money out of people who still read comic books. Color it stupid.
Is that actually about Logan?
Yes. I swear to God, it's about Logan.
That does not sound like... No,
I came straight from Rotten Tomatoes. It's just
so
a source
foul.
I trust.
That's so foul.
Yeah, Rex Reed clearly... Should we call it on the show? Time to retire, probably.
Yes.
Like, if he missed that much of the film, it's like Bosley Crowther missing Bonnie and Clyde.
What?
What?
The old New York Times critic, Bosley Crowther, originally reviewed Bonnie and Clyde. It's like, it's way too violent.
Is this your
like,
version
it's got
of the numbers?
It's
yes.
Got,
oh, my God. Yes. Yes.
Yes. My version of numbers is like adding intellectual depth to the show. No, but Crowther was the old school critic who saw Bonnie and Clyde and just couldn't get past the violence and didn't see the message it was
I'm
making.
Totally bringing that up. Yeah.
Like,
from
you start talking
again?
And I instantly fall asleep when you bring those things up.
Yeah.
Come on, it made Pauline Kale.
I don't. What
Colin,
did you
you're
just
a
study?
Comm major.
Yeah.
Wait, you graduated with a comm degree. You don't know Crowther and Kale?
No. They were dead before I was born.
Were they Bowsley Bumbley?
Yeah, if he
lawyers?
Doesn't know it, then what makes you think I know it?
Yeah.
It's a fair point. Or maybe the department's gotten better.
All
right. No.
Well, you want to be.
Should we?
Well, I mean,
right? Don't say that, Mike.
Well,
I've got one more fair foul to take us home.
And this is a really important
yes.
fair foul. Do you want to set it up before we talk about it?
Or
well, do you want to read it?
Quote it and then, because we obviously know. Okay, so by far the best and the darkest of the X-Men franchise movies.
I want to say fair, but I'm going to regret it.
No. I think it's fair. Darkest is like unquestionably true.
Best,
like I would put it up there with the best.
Yeah.
Like I have a soft spot in my heart for First Class.
See, I have a soft spot in my heart.
Probably because it's grounded in historical context.
I like X-Men 2.
Right.
Actually, I would choose Days of Future Past actually over.
Yeah. But
really?
Logan
I would.
Just because it was able to, you know, retcon so much of the bad stuff of the other one so well.
Yeah, but that doesn't make for a great movie, I don't think. Like it was interesting kind
of
intellectually the way it did it.
You that.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, no, it was dark and it was brilliant. And I think that if you can stomach the violence, you should see Logan because it is about so much more than a superhero.
Yeah. And so that quote is from our colleague, Okla Elliott, who unfortunately passed away this week unexpectedly. And so we would like to dedicate this show to his memory.
Yeah, Okla was. He was a terrific colleague to talk about, like, almost anything with. But literally one of the last conversations I had with Okla was actually about Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh, jeez.
Like, of all things. Because Okla was a fan of Legends of Tomorrow. Like, he
But he was a fan of all the superhero stuff. It's sad that we never had him on the show.
Yeah. He would have been, well, we wouldn't have a show anymore. Had Okla come because people would have been like, let's just talk to Okla from now on.
Yeah.
Bypass these two.
Because he was really smart and like such a broad mind. Yeah. And so, you know, I regret that I'll never have that follow-up conversation with him, for sure.
So today's show is in memory of Okla. We miss you.
It's for you, Okla.